So the time is 6:03 PM on July 28th, 2022. And I would like to call this meeting of the Human Relations Commission to order. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Commissioner Baber? Commissioner Custudio Tan is absent. Commissioner Felix? Commissioner Godinez? Commissioner Lake?
Present.
Commissioner Medina?
Present.
Commissioner Olawi?
Here.
Present.
Commissioner Ratner? Is absent. Vice Chair Kina Yub?
Present.
And Chair Branch?
Present. So the first order of business is the consent calendar. Do any commissioners wish to pull an item for discussion or questions? Are there any speakers, emails, or e-comments on the consent agenda?
No e-comments were submitted, and we have received no requests to speak.
Okay. So I ask for a motion to approve the items on the consent calendar.
So move.
And is there a second? Thank you. So I have a motion to approve the consent calendar, and that was seconded. I ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Commissioner Baber?
Present. Oh, aye. Sorry.
Okay. Commissioner Felix?
Aye.
Commissioner Godinez?
Aye.
Commissioner Lake?
Aye.
Commissioner Medina?
Aye.
Commissioner Olawi?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kina Yub?
Aye.
And Chair Branch?
Aye. The next item on the agenda is...
I didn't hear my name.
Commissioner Ratner, I just wasn't sure if you heard the motion, what we were voting on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I thought you were taking the
roll. I've noted that you've arrived.
Okay,
thanks.
The next item on the agenda is public comment. Are there any speakers for public comment?
No e-comments were submitted, and we have no requests to speak.
Okay, so we'll move on to next item, which is item 5.1, selection of chair and vice chair for fiscal year 2022 to 2023. So is there any kind of staff comment on that item?
This item is placed given that the fiscal year has started this month. This is just a selection of the chair and vice chair for this fiscal year. There doesn't need to be a change if you do not wish that, or there can be nominations for chair and vice chair.
Does anyone have any questions, comments, nominations? Commissioner Lake?
Thank you. Can you remind me when we had the last change? How many months have the current chair and vice chair served?
I'm going to defer to Adriana because I can't even remember exactly when.
I do know the last chair was Commissioner Martinez Montes. So,
I believe it's been within 6 months. So my my inclination is to suggest if there are no one else is willing to step forward or be nominated, that we continue the current chair and the current vice chair for this entire fiscal year.
I second that.
All right, so Commissioner Lakes, was that a motion? I just want to confirm that was a motion?
Yes. Okay. Well, I didn't want to cut anybody off from...
It was
if
seconded.
If there is no one, again, that's, yes, it's a motion.
Are there any other comments, discussion items, nominations? V- Vice Chair Kena, you, would you be willing to continue serving as Vice Chair?
Next to you, of course.
And I would be willing to continue to serve as Chair. So with that, I ask the Secretary to call the roll.
All right, motion made by Commissioner Lake to continue Chair, the current Chair and Vice Chair, and seconded by Commissioner Felix. I will now call the roll by vote by roll. Commissioner Baber?
Aye.
Commissioner Felix?
Aye.
Commissioner Godinez?
Aye.
Commissioner Lake?
Aye.
Commissioner Medina?
Aye.
Commissioner Olawi?
Aye.
Commissioner Ratner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kena Yub?
Aye.
And Chair Branch?
Aye.
Passes unanimously.
All right, so the next item on the agenda is 5.2, discussion and action to appoint a Sons and Daughters of Italy representative to Columbus Statue and Discovery Park Task Force. Some of you may recall that this item was on the agenda last month. However, the person did not get, sufficient votes to have that selection made of Salvador Denari to be on that task force. So the item was put on the agenda again for this month. Before we vote, I wanted to see if Commissioner Medina had anything to say related to this item.
And I'd be happy to add my comments just for clarification for the members who weren't here at the last meeting. When the Columbus Task Force was established, there was a Sons and Daughters of Italy representative that was designated to serve on the task force. And we were made aware that Ms. Grace Sardina was no longer part of the Sons and Daughters of Italy as an organization. Therefore, she no longer qualified for the seat. And the Sons and Daughters of Italy would like to nominate a new representative to serve on the task force. So that is the decision that is in front of you today. And just also for background, the City Council did vacate the seat last week. So currently it is vacant and there is no one serving in that capacity as of today. And also I want to bring your attention, while there were no e-comments submitted and no requests to speak, there is an email that was submitted to the Human Relations Commission email. From Eve Mazzarella, orator of the Sons and Daughters of Italy, for your consideration.
So I see that the email that was sent today at 4:20 p.m., so everyone should have that. In addition, in our packet, there is a letter on this issue from the Sons and Daughters of Italy. So I hope everyone saw that. As I've done in the past, I'm going to read quickly the email into the record, I guess, out loud. Dear committee members, in connection with the nomination of Salvatore Denari on behalf of the Sons and Daughters of Italy for the Columbus Statue Task Force, I'd like to provide some background to the extent it is relevant to your decision-making. I write as a current board member for the Sons and Daughters of Italy on behalf of our group. Sal is a second-generation Italian-American who was born and raised in San Diego by parents from New York. He has been involved in Italian organizations most of his life, including serving 4 years as a president on the Sons and Daughters of Italy Lodge in Encinitas before his presidency of the San Diego Lodge. He is an immediate past president and has the respect of the elected officials for the Grand Lodge of California. Sal is a retired school district employee who has been following the Columbus Statue progress. He attended the city council meeting when the vote for the task force was initially decided and has remained engaged in working on possible solutions for the statue's transition. It is our hope that Sal's deserving nomination be accepted and he be placed in the vacated seat allocated to our group. Thank you, Eve Mozzarella, Orator, Sons and Daughters of Italy, Lodge 1627. So at this point, I would ask for a motion on this item regarding the appointment of a representative for the Sons and Daughters of Italy. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. So that we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on that motion? Commissioner Medina?
This is questions for staff. do we have any kind of is it an email or whatnot that came from, would it be the president of Sons and Daughters of that lodge that was initially the one that reached out to you to make this recommendation of Sal?
There was an email that was included in last meeting's packet. Since then, we received a formal letter from her, which is the one that's in your packet today, and the one that was given to City Council as well for their consideration of the vacation of the seat. But there is an email, I just don't have it with me today.
Okay, just was curious. Thank you.
Commissioner
Codinas, my question is it on record that Sal has accepted a nomination?
Yes.
Any further discussion? Okay, so we have a motion on the floor for the appointment of Salvador Denari to be the representative for the Sons and Daughters of Italy for the Columbus Statue Task Force. That motion was, so at this point I'll ask for if there's no further discussion, I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Okay. Motion made by Commissioner Ratner and seconded by Commissioner Baber. I will now read, call the vote by roll. Commissioner Baber?
Aye.
Commissioner Felix?
Aye.
Commissioner Godinez?
Aye.
Commissioner Lake?
Aye.
Commissioner Medina?
Aye.
Commissioner Olawi?
Aye.
Commissioner Ratner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kina Yub?
Abstain.
And Chair Branch?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes.
All right, next item on the agenda is item 5.3, discussion and possible action regarding a community survey, including potential questions and outreach plans. And you should see attached to the agenda a list of possible questions for the community survey. This item is, related to also item 5.4 with the subcommittee reports. So I want to just ask if anybody from the subcommittee has anything they'd like to say on this item at this point.
So we received an email, and these were the suggested questions from the staff. So I wanted to thank the staff for sure, because it was helpful to have these to look at. I reviewed them and thought that they were pretty appropriate. So we can maybe go through them and ask for feedback briefly. And see if there's any language changes. I think that might be appropriate. And then potentially vote on them. So I'll go ahead and read them. And this is, again, a potential community survey that would go out, I believe, on maybe a links on social media where people could answer them. And we would gather information in a digital sense, as opposed to going to an event and hosting a table at an event. So So what do you believe is the most pressing issue facing Chula Vista? Would people like an opportunity to comment on the questions as I read them, or have me read them first and then comment on them generally?
I'd like to read first.
Yeah, let's go through all of them.
Okay, sure. What do you believe is the most pressing issue facing Chula Vista? Do you believe there is equitable impact of resources in Chula Vista? Do you know about the work of nonprofits in the community? If so, which ones? And there would be a drop-down list plus an open-ended area to fill in for nonprofits. What would an ideal Chula Vista look like to you? Open-ended, with a space to fill in. Are you aware that the city has 22 boards and commissions composed of volunteers that advise city council on a variety of matters, such as planning commission, parks and recs, communication, parks and rec commission, etc.? What, if anything, do you know about the Human Relations Commission? What is a major barrier for you to attend and participate in public meetings like the HRC? Options to include time commitment, distance, not electronically accessible. The Human Relations Commission provides input to the city, to the Chula Vista City Council, on how to best promote ways in which the community welcomes and embraces its diversity and safeguards equal opportunities for everyone. Did you know that the commission meets every fourth Thursday at 6 p.m. in city in council chambers? What would you like to see the commission focus on? How do you get your information about city matters? Select all that apply. And there's options. And then what is your zip code? Drop down list. So for me, like, the most important question is 8B. And so part of me worries that it might get buried in all of the questions, or somebody might give up before we get there. So that's the only kind of thing that I was thinking, and I don't know how to move it up or make it be more of a focus. But I think what we really want to know is that question, the answer to 8B. But I think we would all welcome feedback so that we can kind of move forward with this.
So may I? Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Ratner?
I agree.
I know there's so many permutations and variations we could do here, but maybe begin with question 5, 6, and then 8, 5, 6, 8, 7, and then the other ones can just go, you know, in any other order. But you know, that way, whoever's taking the survey is making themselves aware about that there are commissions. We have so many commissions that exist. Here's a list of them. But then focuses right away on the human relations, and then you ask that important question number 8. Find out why they may or may not attend, and then the others. I see that as a possibility.
Commissioner Keene, are you?
And number 3. I feel like it would be better phrased, do you know what resources are available for the community?
Your mic on, sorry.
Oh. I feel like number 3 would be better phrased, do you know what resources are available for the community? Since number 2 it says, do you believe there's an equitable impact of resources?
I'm sorry, Commissioner Godinez?
I would remove question 6 and move 8 into 6's position.
Commissioner Medina?
Maybe this was already discussed, but I'm thinking of this through like a researcher lens, and really thinking about like what is the larger research question, in the sense like what is it, what is the because I do feel like all of these questions are kind of like they all have a different focus. And some of them relate to communications. Some of them relate to specifically commission. Some of them relate specifically to our commission. And so I just was wondering if the survey has a specific focus around the data it's trying to pull out. And then I think of like that in that sense of like, how do you then create survey questions that align to the specific research question. So if you can remind me, from what I'm remembering, it is really specific on to what are the pressing issues that is within Chula Vista. Is that something that would be like the focus of like the survey? So I guess I'm just asking for clarity on that element.
I guess I would say that the purpose of the focus of the survey is to identify pressing issues, which would then allow us as a commission to help determine what some of the things that we want to address. And related to trying to stay true to a focus, I'm not quite sure about question three. Asking people if they know about the work of different community groups. So if someone put that in there, I guess I would be interested in what their reason is for that, because it seems like if we're focused on what their pressing issues are, which is what I think our focus is, finding out whether or not they're aware of certain work of certain nonprofits, I'm not quite sure really focus, you know, really helps us get that to that point. Commissioner Alawi?
So I was gonna suggest maybe we divide this into different sections and ask questions based on the different sections, and then based on the response, we know like, okay, the priority, which area do we wanna focus on first, because we have more response based on that. Because this is like so broad, like they said, and we can just streamline it so we know we wanna talk about nonprofits, organizations, and things, you know, within the city. We want to talk about communication. We want to talk about just kind of like a sub-heading like that. Then based on response, then we know which one do we want to focus on first.
So my understanding was that the focus was to give us more of a direction. Mm-hmm. So I thought the survey was more intended to see how we can what we can do that's more. So that's why I agree with Commissioner Lake that's what we want to, you know, get the most responses to. Because, you know, if somebody's most pressing issue is the traffic patterns, that's not something that we even care about, you know. Necessarily, that doesn't really seem to fit our purpose or our umbrella. So that's why maybe, you know, leading with that might not be the best thing, but to kind of feel out what they know about us and or what our purpose is, you know, welcome and embrace its diversity and safeguard equal opportunities for everyone is, and then build on that.
I think Anne had, you want to say something?
Yes. I wanted to remind the group that this came from a discussion of how do we get input from the community, mm-hmm. after and kind of mirroring what happens when you all have gone and tabled at an event and people write on stickies. So to focus the answers for what they might recommend that the commission focuses on. So like what you're saying. And just a reminder that the survey format is you know, we're going to promote taking the survey, and you get one question, you page to the next. So you're not going to see it in a line like this. So some of these organizational recommendations sound good to me. But just a reminder, you're going to see them one at a time. So you'll answer one and hit another. And what I forgot to put at the end was a final open-ended one. Is there anything else you'd like to say or tell us or something like that? And also to let you know, we would translate it into Spanish, whatever the final version is. So there would be two versions available.
Well, let me just ask, does anyone have any thoughts about any question that we do not need to, should not include, do not need on here, or? Commissioner Keene, are you?
I don't know if we don't need them. I think maybe the way, like Commissioner Ratner had said, the way that they're put out would kind of help. I understand the point. You ask what's the most pressing issue facing Chula Vista, and then you ask them if they understand if there's an equitable impact of resources. You're trying to find out if the person who's being surveyed is aware of what's already out there. That way you can get a good idea when they're answering the other questions, how aware, how much information they're receiving, how involved they are in the community, how much they make themselves aware of what's out there. So I understand it. I think it's good to start maybe with, are you aware that the city has 22 boards and commissions composed of volunteers that advise city council on a variety of matters? And that way you get right off the bat, do they know that there's commissions out there?
Right.
And then you ask, the Human Relations Commissions provides input to the Chula Vista City Council on how best to promote ways in which the community welcomes, embraces, and its diversity. So you jump right into the Human Relations Commission, and then you ask them if they know when we meet, which, I mean, I don't know if they need to know that. Maybe just getting the survey, they'll look it up. It just depends what you all think. And then what would you like to see the commission focus on? And then from there you can go to maybe a question like, would you attend the meetings if they were virtual or if they were this? And then what do you believe is the most pressing issue facing Chula Vista? And what would an ideal Chula Vista look like to you? And then maybe having like a span of like five questions just like that will create more responses. Because I know for me during election season, I got maybe like 35 calls, right? 35 calls on how to answer the surveys and stuff. And I'll get about five or six in and I'm enthusiastic. And then about the sixth one, I'm like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. And I'll like click off. So maybe compartmentalizing it and then having those will get a better gauge. Right off the bat, they'll know what they're answering.
Yep.
So are you suggesting that only four or five of these questions be asked? Or I understand you have an order that you're presenting for the first few. You're not suggesting we get rid of the other ones, is that?
Maybe we can reword some of the existing ones. I just think people initiate better responses if you stay within their kind of like focus time frame. It's like, you know, like a TikTok video, do it in 1 minute. And it's not to put anything down, but it's really like how we move and consider thoughts.
So based on what, Commissioner Lake?
I think that's what you said was the format of the other survey you did, which it was only four or five questions. I have a memory of you saying that it was only about four or five questions. And yeah. I think that aligns. I actually really kind of like the order suggested by Commissioner Keene Ayoub. I thought it was, I kind of liked the second question, but I think the second question, do you believe there's equitable impact of resources in Chula Vista? Because I do actually think that helps us inform ourselves of maybe that's what we need to be focusing upon to actually embrace the diversity and welcome everybody, is to make sure that there is this knowledge of equitable impact of resources in Chula Vista, or acknowledge that there isn't an equitable impact of resources in Chula Vista. So part of me wants to keep that question in. I don't know where it would be, but I do like the suggestion of question five being number one, question two B, like question eight, I'm sorry, 8B being number two, question seven being number three.
Yes.
I heard question one being number four, and question four being number five.
Yeah, that's what I have.
And then
maybe question two would be number six. Is that where we?
I don't know. I feel like when you ask what does an ideal Chula Vista look like to you, that should be almost the last question, because that's all inclusive of tell us anything you want. We don't even need a question that says what else would you like me to know, mm-hmm. because I feel like that gives you the opportunity to say this is what I want you to know about my city. I want it to be beautiful, blah, blah. But so I think maybe to me, question number five should be potentially number two, and then question six would be number four. Sorry, I did that backwards. You know what I mean, right?
No.
Now, I wrote, can I tell you what you said? I got, you said question number five should be one.
Yes.
Question number eight is two.
Uh-huh.
Question number seven is three.
Yes.
Question number one is four.
Yes.
And then now that you, I agree, I like that idea of the ideal Chula Vista being the final open-ended one, so then we need to just reorganize in between. And I think we can get, somebody said this maybe, we can get rid of what, if anything, do you know about the HRC? I don't think we need to.
Yeah.
So maybe question two, would it be number five? And then question four would be number six?
That's what I was
saying. Is that where
saying.
We are?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But I'm open.
And then we would get rid of question three, possibly.
Yeah.
Get rid of question nine and question six.
I'm just wondering, is question nine something that would be beneficial?
Oh, question nine, I'll fall on my sword on that one, folks.
Right.
I need think to that know, would be I beneficial. Mean, we got complaints. We had a community meeting last night.
Yes.
How did you communicate about this? I had to hear from a friend.
Right.
It's okay. Like, well, you have good friends then.
I agree. I think number nine also.
So you say nine should stay in? Is that what you
said? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I think nine and 10 are.
They're like information. What
yeah, they're information. Like where's once you do at the end, just like, oh, sign here.
Okay. You know, the one thing about question number, the on the paper, question number two about the equitable impact of resources, that's one of the questions where I feel that it's one of the, probably going to be one of the least informed, like a person might say, yes, they are, no, it's not, or I don't know, that they don't have enough background info to really give a correct answer to it. All the other questions, they can, you know, that is their firm opinion. I believe Chula Vista should be like this. I would like an ideal Chula Vista to look like that. Can't argue with that. But if someone's going to ask me, are the equitable resources, I don't even have all the information of where all the resources are going to. So how can I give a good informed answer to that question? So I don't think it'll give us good enough information or accurate enough information to, again, to direct our focus. And I think that once people start saying what's the most pressing and what's the most ideal, then that can give you enough information for our focus.
I think that what's aligned with what Ricky was saying about what information do we want to get, a yes or no to that question may not give us anything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
What if we kind of specify equitable impact of resources, like based on region, since like one of the glaring issues, of course, in Chula Vista is the West Chula Vista and East Chula Vista, and saying that probably East has better resources. So maybe are there equitable resources geographically or like everywhere in the city?
You know, I know we put that in there, and we always hear about the East-West divide, but, you know, the East pays for it. For those of you living in the East, you pay Mellow Roos, you pay extra.
Right.
So
right.
That just might create more of a can of worms than...
That's how I feel,
be,
too.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's perception and there's reality.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the perception might be 100% accurate, but a lot of times, you know, you just hear a lot of chatter and whatever. And then are you really investigating, you know, the percentage of property taxes of this and of that? So that's, I personally don't like question number two.
Can I jump in? I have a couple of aspects of like just asking some more questions. If we were to look at number five as one of the questions, the first one, are you aware that the city has, it's a yes, no answer. So what kind of data does that really give us to do anything with it? So it doesn't necessarily offer us anything other than they're aware or they're not aware.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't know if like What does that mean if people aren't aware?
Yeah.
Like, for an example, I'm not aware of the 22 boards and commissions. That's a lot. Like, I'm aware of some, but so if I was to answer, say no, what kind of data does that give this group? So I think, like, that's one. The other thing that I want to offer that I remember bringing up on this survey is that, you know, one of our community members, Maggie, all last year she spoke about communication being ineffective, communication struggles, communication challenges. But it's interesting because we're asking those questions again, as if what she said wasn't a legitimate concern. So I think once again, we get answers, but we get responses, but it's kind of like, are we asking questions to ask a question? Or are we asking, like, you know what I mean? So I'm almost feeling like if somebody was to say yes, like here's an example. Which is a major barrier for you to attend and participate in a public meeting, right? If I was to say electronic access, which has been said, right? What do we do with that response? Because it's already been said, right? And so I think to myself, like, I think it's very important we ask these questions, but I guess I'm pushing on, I think it's really important that we look at what is a very reader-friendly survey. It's not heavy, and it gives us the data that is really aligned to our role and function as a HRC and allows us to truly create our map for this next year. And so that's kind of like just some reflections, but I think we're almost there. But I just think we should ask ourselves potentially two questions. What are we gonna do with the data that's coming from this? Like, what could we do? So how important is us really asking this question? And then secondly, is this question, does it really bring out a role and function of the HRC enough? So I do like that equity question, because I feel like when we say use the word equity, I almost feel like that is explicit language within our roles and functions of the city. So I don't know if any of that helps at all, but I just wanted to offer those kind of critiques potentially about a survey.
Yeah, I agree with that, Commissioner Martinez. So maybe that question five could actually, instead of are you aware, just be the introduction to the survey. You know, the city has 22 boards and commissions, blah, 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 boom. And then say, well, Human Relations is interested in finding out, you know. So just kind of make that an introduction, not be a question. And then, I guess question number eight becomes number one, I guess. And again, 8A might not, you know, along the same lines, the yes or the no, but different. We can just put that information. The Human Relations Commission meets every fourth Thursday at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. in City Council chambers. We welcome our community, you know, blah, 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 to join us or something. And then we can say, what would you like the community to focus on? And then maybe ask the question, what's the major barrier for you to attend and participate?
And just so I can clarify there, actually, I was thinking of Maggie when I included this, because I want to hear what other people are saying about barriers. And when I say options to include, it would be the check boxes. And I, you know, select all that apply, kind of a thing. Because I think it would be good to hear from other people.
Right.
Commissioner Keene, are you?
I like the question about, are you aware that the city has 22 boards and commissions comprised of volunteers? I think maybe just rewording it and saying, are you aware that the city has boards and commissions composed of community members that advise city council on a variety of matters, and then listing the different ones. Because I feel like even sometimes we go out in the community, I know on the east side, people don't even know that we have commissions. And then when they know we have commissions, they think we were all handpicked by the mayor, like out of dust. Like they were just like, oh, here, you know, you joined this commission. So a lot of people don't even know the commissions are there. And I think that would be a really good question if we're sending out the survey of making people aware. And if you put community members, then they'll know that they can come out and be part of it as well.
Maybe we could add, as you're saying this, I was thinking, well, maybe we can somehow also, in that question, let them know that if they're interested, they can go to the city's website and apply to be on one of these boards and commissions.
I feel like that might detract from our, I mean, although we are a city, you know, commission.
Well, I understand. Okay.
I have a...
Felix?
Yeah, if we're going to keep number seven options, can we also put language preference or maybe language barrier?
Or non-citizenship?
Or, yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe even, I don't know if we want to add any questions, but I feel like maybe also one about our welcoming city designation, because I feel like that's like the crown jewel of this commission, one of the crown jewels of this commission.
So are you saying making that a question?
Maybe something like how important it, do you, first of all, do you know that Chula Vista is the only certified welcoming city in the state of California? And second, how important is that, or something like that? Like Commissioner Medina said, you know, we want to be able to use this data, not just ask questions. But like maybe we can see like, you know, maybe we can do a better job of promoting our designation or something like that.
I know that like I don't want to lead people too much, but I know me sitting here, I'm very interested in the interrelationships. I'm interested in our racial climate. I'm interested in issues around gender identity and language and gender expression and the experiences of individuals. So when we talk about welcoming city, right, that speaks to me. That's what I'm interested in. Like, how welcoming is this city for you, right? And so those are the things for me that I feel speak a lot around how I sit on this seat, right? And it's not about me leading so much somebody to take the survey, but I'm very interested in to hear is how is it for you within these identities in Chula Vista, how is your experience here, right? And that allows me to be able to see like, shoot, like we got, you know, these are some areas. So, but like I said, like not trying to lead people too much, but trying to create a space within a survey for them to say, I see what you're talking about, like welcoming city. So that's why I was kind of looking at the role and the function of our group and really trying to pull out some things that are within our specifics, you know, to see if it's there. But I know that those are, you know, I think those are for me things that really speak to the work of the HRC. So I also second, like, how do we bring in the welcoming city aspects of this into this survey more?
I want to ask, I just want to ask a process question. So we have a lot of people have voiced different suggestions about questions and order and wording. So I guess I would like to get some thoughts as to how we proceed. You know, for example, do we need to vote on each of these different suggestions? Do we need to maybe have staff just kind of work on another draft, kind of incorporating some of our thoughts? I don't want to just keep going on and on without sort of a process of how we're going to finalize this document in mind. So with that said, I think Adriana has some.
I think that the community survey ad hoc that was established could take this feedback and work on a draft that's inclusive of everything we've heard today, and we'd be happy to meet with the subcommittee as well to share notes and make sure that it encompasses kind of everything that we've heard, and have that subcommittee really work on this and bring it back for the full commission's consideration.
That sounds like a good suggestion. There are three subcommittee members here. So how does that sound to you?
And that we'll work on setting up a meeting, whether it's virtual or in-person.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I turned on my mic. I think that's a great suggestion, and we'll work on setting up a meeting, whether it's in-person or virtual.
And so Commissioner Kinayup, I think you had a comment before I made my comment. You have one?
Excuse me. I had to swallow.
I wanted to ask staff if there was any kind of previous surveys that were done in terms of equity and equitable resources, and if they broke down one, broke down by race and then broke down by LGBTQ, because that's something that I'm interested in. I don't know if it formally goes into this, because again, I think 5 or 6 questions is good enough for this, but I think somebody that's LGBTQ is going to have a different experience than probably somebody else that's not. And same thing with somebody that's Black, Indigenous, Brown, API is going to have a different experience in Chula Vista than somebody that's not.
So we haven't done that, I would say, on a citywide level. The resource thing, when we were looking at the Measure A and Measure P, the half-cent sales tax for infrastructure and half-cent sales tax for public safety, you know, there probably was some feedback about where the resources go. I mean, there was definitely interest that it, you know, benefit the whole city and all that, but that would be the only time we got input on the resource issue.
Commissioner Medina?
I just want to end by saying that I was really questioning more of the need for this survey, but the more I sit here, the more I realize that this survey has the ability to really articulate the need, the dire need for this commission. And because this commission could disappear, I think that the data that we're able to gather will speak and provide that evidence around individuals' perceptions and lived experiences here in Chula Vista that the HRC is able to support and address and continue to advise the council on. So I'm very, I just wanted to offer that, is that the survey is important in this time, so.
To go along with that, I think one of the things I want to bring back for the next is when the survey will be, like what our plan is as far as how it will be distributed and how we can reach hopefully everyone in the community.
Okay, so at this point then we'll basically end our conversation on the survey, and the subcommittee will bring back another proposal at the next meeting. So if there's no further comments on that, I will have us move on to the item 5.4, discussion updates from ad hoc subcommittees. The first one is Data Sharing Technologies, ALPR. So I will, let me just make sure. Did I ask or did you say there were any comments, e-comments, speakers on?
No e-comments were submitted and there are no requests to speak.
Okay.
On
5.3. 5.3, I'm sorry. Okay, so 5.4, I will give a report related to the Technology and Privacy Task Force. There's a lot has happened recently. Let me get my stuff here. Okay, so as you know, I was, appointed to be the representative from this body, I believe at our last meeting. And since our last meeting, a number of things have happened with the task force. On June 23rd, the task force met with representatives of traffic engineering department, IT, and city clerk. And just generally speaking, what's been happening since this task force started was that the task force has been meeting or getting reports from various departments about their use of technology, the sort of databases that they have, the type of information they collect, like personal information that they collect, how it's used, who has access to it, how the data is held, like, you know, is it on servers that are from third-party vendors? Is it on-site kind of thing? How long the information is retained? So almost every department has some technology, so there's been numerous meetings on that. So traffic engineering, and they're not going to go into a lot more detail, but basically they have traffic cameras that not record information, but they monitor different intersections so they can just sort of monitor how traffic is flowing. And in some instances, they can actually like adjust the timing on different lights to help traffic move better. They also have some camera technology that triggers lights to change when cars come to an intersection. But again, none of that information is recorded. We also talked to the IT department. They basically provide support services for the city for their technology. And the police department has their own sort of own IT people because they have sort of additional requirements for security that the rest of the city doesn't have. We also talked to the city clerk. She maintains data related to, council and commission meeting agendas and minutes. She has databases that have, the Form 700 filings that people make. She also deals with public record requests. All those different items have different retention times, but she also, she gave us sort of a background on that. So that was a June 23rd meeting. It wasn't really a meeting, but it was an opportunity for the commission to come into the city and meet with those different departments. On June 27th, though, was an actual privacy task force regular meeting. And at that meeting, we got briefings from engineering, and they used drones in order to get information related to construction projects. We also talked with the fire department. Their information pertains to, most of the information pertains to the conditions of residents when the EMS provides them with service. And so they have different privacy-related issues related to medical information that they discuss with us. We also talked to community services. That department, for example, has data related to when people sign up for recreational classes. And under that group is the library. And the library has information related to like books people check out and use of the computers at the library. I just want to say that the library keeps almost no information. Information about, for example, what books you check out is not kept. They only have the current books you have currently checked out. Once the book is returned, all the data about books you've checked out historically is not being held. Neither is your computer use at the library. So, if you use a computer at the library, there's no record about what websites you went to and things like that. Also, at the June 27th meeting, we had a presentation from a group called Ad Hoc Stop Chula Vista PD Surveillance Group, and that was a group of residents that provided some suggestions on a privacy ordinance and suggestions to have a technology commission going forward. The next meeting was on... I lost my notes here. So that was the June 27th meeting. The July 18th meeting, July 18th, the Privacy Task Force had another meeting. I had mentioned previously that I had prior plans to be out of town before I was appointed to this group, so I did miss that meeting. I'm in the process of watching the video. The meeting lasts about 4 hours, so I haven't quite got through the whole video yet. I can just tell you at that meeting, find the agenda here. Oh, here it is. So at that meeting, the task force received presentations from the Human Resources Department, Finance, Development Services, and the Housing Divisions. They also had a work time to start kind of formulating what their proposals are going to be going forward. And I just want to give you a sense of the preliminary list of policy ideas that the subcommittee has put forth thus far. All this information that I'm telling you is on the website. You can watch the videos of the meetings, and there's lots of documents on the meetings, including this list of policy ideas. And I'm just going to list a few of them that the task force has put forth so far. For policy oversight, they're talking about establishing a privacy advisory board, hiring a chief privacy officer to manage all privacy oversight functions, to require proactive disclosure of data breaches and privacy policy violations, require the use policies for private impacting technology to be reviewed at a certain interval to determine whether existing privacy protections are still adequate to address evolving uses of the technology, prohibit the use of non-city devices to access city networks unless a two-factor authentication is used, reduce the amount of data that is retained, prohibit non-disclosure agreements in vendor contracts except in protect proprietary information, require all contracts with privacy implications to be presented to the city council regardless of dollar amount, require an evaluation of the potential for hardware to be maliciously accessed by a third party as part of the procurement process. And that's just, I think I read about half of the proposal so far in the document that is attached to the agenda for the July 18th meeting. And the last thing I just want to report on is that there are going to be two community meetings that are going to be held in connection with this process. One was last night at the South Chula Vista Library, and the other one is tonight, actually, as we speak, from 6 to 7:30. Or 6 o'clock to 7:30 at the Otay Ranch Library. So basically, one was on the east side, one was on the west side. So that's those are two community meetings. I think those are the major things that have occurred with the task force at this point. So I don't know if Adriana wants to add anything else to what I said. Go ahead, and then if anyone has any questions, I'll open up for questions.
Just wanted to add that at those community, Ann and I were both at the community meeting last night, and it was very well attended. We had about 25 people there, and we were able to break out in smaller groups and have discussions surrounding some of these policy recommendations that have already been brought up at the task force. And tonight we got word that there is also a great turnout at Otay Ranch Library, so that's really good. And media was there last night and tonight as well. So they can get the word out as to the work of the task force, because it's certainly not done. There were also six focus groups that were conducted, 4 in English and 2 in Spanish, and the results of which will be presented to the task force at the upcoming Monday meeting, August the 1st. If anyone's interested, you can watch. The videos are uploaded and it's live streamed, so you're welcome to follow.
Does anyone have any questions about my report or what the task force is doing? Commissioner Godinez?
Thank you. My question is, so for the traffic lights with the cameras there, is it actually recording like live feed of like vehicles going through the lights, or is it just like what triggers the that work?
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, I'm just curious. Like first, like how that works and what is
it's a live feed, but it's not recorded. So at current time, at an intersection, there's cameras, and they can just literally sit there in their office and watch the cars going through a certain intersection, but it's not recorded, so they can't, go back and see, look at it again. They can just catch it live as it's happening. Okay. And then the ones that trip the lights, again, it's not recorded. It's just, it's a system that allows the lights to change when cars come to a certain intersection, but it's not recorded.
And we have that assurance that it's not recorded, right?
Yes. Well, you know, that's what we've been told multiple times, yes. Does anybody else have any questions? And Commissioner Medina?
Well, first off, I really, 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 really want to thank you, because I know just hearing you speak, how much work this is, you know? You know, all volunteered, you know? And so I just want to thank you, Chair, for your dedication to this. I believe is such an important topic. Has there been, and it's not related to your presentation, it's just a thought that I was sitting here with. There was some reporting done in relation to the ALPR, in relation to a Motorola. And has any of that stuff been, because I know it sounds to me like you all have a theme, a focus of a lot of these meetings. And so I was just wondering if any of that has come up and been processed around kind of how things may have happened. And I don't know if the right word is overlooked, but how procedural aspects have happened in the past and how the policy then could inform. So almost looking at situations that have happened that the reporting unveiled.
I'm not, I don't know if you had a response for that.
I can respond to that because I think that most of that discussion happened before you were on the task force. Mm-hmm. But it has been discussed, it has been brought up not only by task force members themselves, but from public speakers. There's been requests from task force members to see the Motorola contract themselves, the full version of it. So all those documents, every document that's been distributed to the task force is on the webpage. So you can see every document that they've been able to review, but yes.
And certainly if there's any particular concerns, questions that you have, you know, I can take them back to the task force or a topic, because I certainly as a representative want to make sure that I'm getting your input and thoughts about this process. There's so much information, though. It's hard to convey it all in this meeting at this moment. But you know, as you're thinking about, as you may see news reports about what's going on, or if you have an opportunity to look at any documents, is there something that you want me to bring up? Please let me know. So with that, I don't know if there's any further questions about that report. I will then move to the next ad hoc subcommittee of AAPI.
There has been no progress or work done on the AAPI committee during this month. I was on vacation for half of the month and then have not reached back out. I will potentially have some information at the next hearing. At the next meeting. But as I said at the last meeting, I'm struggling with what is the next step, as I have not received any response. So we'll meet and I'll provide a substantive progress report next time to either disband the ad hoc or come up with a plan of action.
Okay. I think, Adriana, did you want to say something?
Commissioner, like you said what I was going to say, just following the advice of City Attorney Guggins, if a subcommittee doesn't have kind of a goal or an active assignment, then it should really be disbanded and then come back. So, but I heard you say at the next meeting, if there isn't anything, then we can proceed to disband.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the community survey. Certainly we've talked about that already, but if anyone in the committee wants to add anything else, this would be a time to do that? Nope. Okay. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is staff comments.
My only comment is that there was a request to have a presentation to the HRC regarding barriers to employment for LGBTQ, for the LGBTQ community, and I did reach out to the center, and while they do have a presentation available, they're having issues with staff and bringing someone on board, so they're unavailable until the next couple of months. But I also heard back from the San Diego Workforce Partnership, and they are available to provide a presentation covering that issue. So we will be looking into having that presentation at your August meeting. And I'll be reaching out to South Bay Community Services as well.
Let's see. Okay, so it's time for my agenda here. Okay, for chair comments. First, I just wanted to thank the commission for, I guess, the opportunity to continue to serve as chair. And then I just wanted to bring up an item that I saw in the news that I would like to see if we could have someone from the city police department come to the next meeting to discuss. There's an article with the title, Chula Vista Police Are 5 times More Likely to Use Force on Black Suspects Than White and Hispanic Suspects. And basically, the article is a report by the news channel CBS 8. And some of the information that they have in it says, for example, in 2019, the number spiked to 6. The use of force against, let's read it way worse. In 2019, that number spiked to 6.6 times the rate of force used on black suspects compared to white Hispanics. During the pandemic in 2020, the number dipped with police use of force on black people 3.1 times more than on white and Hispanic people. And in 2021, use of force incidents spiked and blacks were 7.8 times more likely than white and Hispanics to have force used on them. So these numbers are obviously concerning and disturbing. The article does have someone from the police department, Executive Captain Phil Collum, comment on some of this, indicating, for example, that the police department has taken several measures to try to talk about and educate personnel about implicit unconscious bias and to ensure that the bias doesn't affect their decision making. He also takes issue with how the numbers were calculated. But I guess in sum, the numbers are concerning, and so I would like to see if we could have someone from the police department come next month to talk about this report and provide information about what they're doing to address it, if they do have any issues with how the report's presented, to present that. I'd like to get more information about what types of actions are included in use of force and that kind of thing.
We can certainly reach out to the police department and make that request.
So at this point, we'll move to item 8, which is commissioner comments. Does any commissioner have any comments? Let me just add one more thing. If any commissioner has any items that they also would like to be on the agenda, whether or not you do any comments or some other time, just, you know, you should let me know so we can put them on the agenda. Commissioner Godinez?
I know in the past we've tabled at the National Night Out. Are we doing one here for the city?
There is a National Night Out on next week, on the 2nd. And no, the commission did not consider attending this year.
And so the RPD is going to have an event here?
Yes.
That was my only comment.
Commissioner Medina?
The only thing I'm thinking of is potentially adding on to your request, Chair Branch. I've been reflective of the specific trainings that I don't know if they're using the words cultural competence. You know, there are different ways of framing, but the type of training that they're utilizing, if even the company that they're using or organization, and even if they have any data around the effectiveness of those trainings based on what the organization or company has shared. Because I just think that for me, you know, there's a difference between having conversations about it and being involved in a rich professional development experience that is data, that's evidence-based. So if they have any opportunities to share what are those specific trainings, what do they look like, who offers them, and the any kind of impact data that they might have, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Are there any other commissioner comments? But yeah, I do appreciate that suggestion that the police would come with that additional information. All right, so seeing no additional comments, it's time for us to adjourn the meeting. So it's 7:14 p.m., and I adjourn this meeting to the next regular meeting of the Human Relations Commission on August 25th, 2022 at 6 p.m. in council chambers.